Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Hebrews 2:9 says that he suffered death and he was crowned. I'd like to minister a message tonight that I have taught here in the past, but I felt directed of the Lord to teach this week before Easter Sunday, the cross and the crown. Most of us are interested in other people understanding us. We want to be understood. And when it comes to God, we often wonder, does God understand us? And what we really mean by that usually is that we're hoping that God is merciful to us and compassionate to us in our failures and often in our lack of faith. But I think it is more important that we understand God, who has clearly revealed himself through his word. Understanding how God operates, and it is clearly revealed in his word, will give us understanding and help us to navigate difficulties in life. God does care about you. He knows when you sit down and when you rise up. He knows exactly where you are at all times. He knows your thoughts, your motives. He knows your weaknesses and your strength. And he loves you. He loves me in spite of our humanity and our frailty. He knows our frame, the psalmist said. He remembers that we are dust, and he pities us like a father is compassionate toward his children. So I want you to understand God. I want to understand how God operates so that I can cooperate with God rather than trying to force God to operate as I think he should. And specifically tonight, I'm addressing this idea of the cross of Jesus Christ and the cross and the crown. Why did Jesus have to die before he could be exalted? Why did it please the Lord to bruise him? When you study the Bible account, we learn about the original sin in the Garden of Eden. And there we read of the first animal sacrifice performed by God himself to cover the sin of Adam and Eve. We read of the more excellent sacrifice of Abel that was accepted by God. Throughout the Mosaic Law, we read of an innumerable number of sacrifices that were offered and blood shed that roll the sins ahead of the people ahead looking forward to Calvary. We learn in the Bible from Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. We learn that these sacrifices looked ahead to the death of Jesus Christ. According to Revelation 13:8, the end of that verse, Jesus Christ was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The crucifixion of Jesus Christ was God's plan from the beginning. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Jesus put an end to blood sacrifices when he fulfilled every blood sacrifice that ever had been offered in the history of the Bible. We understand that he brought an end to the sacrificial system. According to Hebrews chapter 9, in the end of the world, he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. According to his own words in Luke 22:20, Jesus said, "This cup is the new testament or the new covenant in my blood." It was the blood of Jesus Christ that instituted the new testament, the new relationship that we could have with God Almighty. And when the flesh of Jesus Christ was torn on the cross, that veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom, opening the access from man to God that we could enter into the holiest place by a new and living way by the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus was the only sinless human in all of history, and he alone was worthy to bear the sins of the world in his body on the cross. But not only was Jesus worthy to bear our sins, the Bible bears out that Jesus was a substitute for us. When we should have died for our sins, Jesus Christ died in our place. You will see throughout the Bible the principle of substitution. In the Garden of Eden, God Almighty killed animals, shed their blood, and covered the sins of Adam and Eve with their coats. The innocent animals were substitutes for the sins of Adam and Eve. In the story of Abraham taking his son, his only son Isaac, up to the one of the mountains of Moriah to obey the Lord and offer him as a burnt offering there, Abraham took his son and went to Moriah. The Bible tells a story in Genesis chapter 22. Abraham took his son Isaac, he bound him, he laid him on the altar. He was ready to obey God, to take the life of his only son. As Abraham raised the knife in the air to plunge it into the heart of his son, there was the voice of God. But before that came, Isaac had asked his father, Lord, or Abraham, Dad, there's the wood and here's the fire, but where is the sacrifice? You can see Abraham ready to take his son. His son is asking, where is the sacrifice? And Abraham is knowing that Isaac is the sacrifice. But by faith, Abraham spoke to Isaac and said, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So now Abraham is ready to take the life of his son. But the Lord speaks to Abraham and stops him. And there over in the thicket is a ram caught by his thorns. And that ram becomes the sacrifice, the substitute for Isaac. And it is there that Abraham calls that place Jehovah Jireh, or in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. Or as we say, could also be interpreted, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. God had told Abraham to offer his son, but Abraham by faith said, God will provide himself a sacrifice. So in the same way that this ram was the substitute for Isaac, Jesus Christ was our substitution. He died for our sins. He took our place on the cross. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth, or displayed his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died in our place. This principle of substitution is found throughout the scripture, and I will not take the time today to recount all of them, but Leviticus 16, the Day of Atonement, when Isaiah said that the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Psalm 69, Mark 10, 1 Thessalonians 5, John 10, where the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. John 11, when one man should die for the people. And then in Romans 14, 50, that Christ died for us. I thank the Lord that while we were unworthy to die for our own sins, and if we would have died, we would have been vanquished from God forever. But Jesus Christ died in our place. He bore our sins on the cross. He gave himself for that. When John the Baptist introduced Jesus Christ in John chapter 1, verse 29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And every Jewish person standing there that day knew from their history that a lamb could only take away sins when it was sacrificed. Jesus spoke of his own death when he said, "Except a grain of wheat falls in the ground and dies, it will abide alone." He recognized and knew that for this cause he had come into the world to become the sacrifice for all of our sins. He knew that that was his purpose for coming, that there had to be a cross before there could be a crown. I want to remind you of our text today, Hebrews 2:9. "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste sin for every man." Let's walk through the scripture, Philippians 2:5. "Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." There was a cross in Jesus' life. Galatians 3:13, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, as it is written, 'Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree.'" When Jesus Christ hung on the cross, battered, bruised, and bleeding, he was there as a public spectacle, the Holy One of Israel, exposed in naked humiliation. And he would cry from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He faced the full brunt of the wrath of God in his body on the cross. There was in his life a cross. Being crucified, according to Deuteronomy 21, was a sign of being abandoned by God and man. Crucifixion was the capital punishment of choice. It was the most cruel form of death. It originated with the Persians. It was passed on to the Carthaginians and the Phoenicians. But it was the Romans who perfected crucifixion as a method of execution. They preferred it because it caused maximal pain and suffering over a longer period of time rather than merely taking off someone's head. Crucifixion would make a public example of the criminal, and everyone would pass by and know that this must surely be a terrible human being. Crucifixion was reserved for slaves, for the lowest types of criminals. Roman citizens, except for soldiers who defected, were not subjected to crucifixion. And here was Jesus Christ, perfect, sinless, flawless, but he could not be exalted until he was first abased. Jesus could not ascend into heaven to fill all things until he first descended into the lowest part of the earth. Paul bears this truth out in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. According to the Bible, Jesus had to suffer death before he could be crowned as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This Friday, we will celebrate what only Christians could call Good Friday. How could you call the day when our Lord was crucified a good day, except we understand that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins, and that our Lord Jesus Christ, in his sinless perfection, bore our sins in his body on the cross. He took all of our sins away, nailing them to the cross. And we should take a moment right now as we listen to the word of God to thank Jesus Christ that he laid down his life on the cross. Lord, right now I pause my preaching, Lord, to say thank you. And as we celebrated your death on Sunday, Lord, when we received communion, celebrating God and thanking you for your broken body and your shed blood, Lord, I thank you now that you gave yourself freely, that you did not hold back, Lord, but you sacrificed yourself on the cross. Amen. That was the cross. But back to our text. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. But then in the middle of this verse, the writer of Hebrews now lets us know that the cross had a purpose, that the cross was worth the cost, that Jesus Christ was crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. I want you to understand today that the crown was contingent on the cross, that Jesus could not wear the crown until he had first carried his cross. You may remember that Satan, in the temptations of Jesus, offered Jesus the kingdoms of the world. He essentially said, you can kind of go around, you can circumnavigate the cross. All you need to do, Jesus, is worship me and I will give you the kingdoms of the world. He showed them to Jesus Christ in a moment, but Jesus refused that. He would not exchange future glory for present alleviation of the pain. Satan's offer was to exchange the cost of the cross for the kingdoms of the world. But if Jesus would have succumbed to those temptations, he would have forfeited the kingdoms of the world forever. Amen. Everything that Satan will ever offer you ultimately belongs to God. And all he intends to do is to rob you of your hope, to create a short-sightedness in your vision. The bait of Satan is to ask you, why should you wait to get it then when you can have it all now? But Jesus Christ wisely rejected the offer of Satan. He submitted to death so he could be eternally exalted. When the Roman soldiers were mocking him, they jeered our Lord Jesus Christ, and they thought that the only crown he would ever wear was a crown of thorns. And in their mockery, they placed that plaited wreath of thorns on his head. They pressed it down into his brow, and blood came out. They crushed it into his skin. The Bible said that they mocked him there. But because Jesus Christ was willing to succumb to death on the cross, he said, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down of myself. He willingly submitted himself to the death on the cross. And now, because he was willing to do that, Hebrews 2 and 9 again, in the middle of that verse, he is crowned with glory and honor. The Apostle Paul spoke of the cross and the crown. Earlier, I referred to the mind of Jesus, his mentality of humility, that he humbled himself and became obedient to the cross. But let's pick up this passage in Philippians 2 and 9. Because he was willing to do that, the Bible said, wherefore, because of that, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Because Jesus was willing to endure the cross, he became worthy to wear the crown. When the Apostle Peter preached that epic sermon on the day of Pentecost, that day when God's Spirit was poured out on all flesh, the Apostle Peter preached about the exalted Jesus Christ, the one they had crucified, was raised from the dead. He said, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. The Apostle Peter said that God raised him from the dead and gave him glory. Throughout the Bible, there is a prophecy, Zechariah 12 and 10, that they would look on him they pierced. This prophecy was fulfilled in John 19, 37, when the Roman soldiers looked on the ones they pierced, and a Roman soldier said, truly, this was the Son of God. But in double reference fashion, in the book of Revelation 1 and 7, the Bible said, behold, he comes with the clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him will look on him, and they shall wail because of him. Because Jesus Christ was willing to carry his cross, he is worthy to wear the crown. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 30, the Bible said, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. In the end, all the kingdoms that Satan offered Jesus Christ will come under his rule, not just for a season or a time, but forever and ever and ever. In Revelation 11, 15, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 11, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Those crowns are indicative that he is a king of kings. They have cast their crowns. We have cast our crowns at his feet. And he wears every crown of every king who ever lived. He is the King of kings, and he is the Lord of lords. Jesus Christ endured the agony of the cross, and he earned the right to be crowned. In the life of Jesus Christ, there was a cross before there was a crown. And I am glad that he is on our side, because in the end, we will celebrate our victory with him. Our victory in the end is bound up in his. Because he has overcome the world, we can be of good cheer, and we too can overcome the world. But now let me speak to you. Let me speak of the believers and followers of Jesus Christ. The Bible is clear that the servant is not greater than his Lord. And if Jesus had to experience the pain of the cross before he could enjoy the privilege of the crown, we should never think that we can bypass the cross. Matthew 16, 24, we are called to bear our cross. And said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. What is a cross? Clearly, a cross is an instrument of death. Jesus carried his cross. Where did he go with his cross? He went to Calvary. He went to Golgotha, same place. He went to a place of death. And if we take up our cross and follow Jesus, we will end up going to the same place he went. We will go to a place of death to self. That is really what repentance is all about. Repentance is death. It identifies with the death of Jesus Christ. But Jesus died on his cross. And when we take up our cross, we die to our will and we die to our sins. I have found that the cross is really the test of complete obedience to the will of God. For Abraham, it was the willingness to offer his son, waiting for a substitute. For the rich young ruler that Jesus Christ addressed, it was being willing to give everything away to take up his cross and follow Jesus Christ. When he was not willing to do that, Jesus spoke to him in Mark 10:21, this rich young ruler. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor. Thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up thy cross and follow me. The Bible said, and at that saying, he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. For that young man, his wealth was everything to him. It was his God, evidently. And in order to follow Jesus Christ, he had to sell that. He had to die to money so that he could follow Jesus Christ. This taking up one's cross is not a one-time thing. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus said, if any man wants to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. This is so practical and true. Some people take up their cross each Easter. Some take up their cross once a week on Sunday. I believe that in this season, God is teaching us to take up our cross daily. That our altar is not just the front of a church sanctuary, but an altar is a place of private devotion and prayer where we daily die to ourselves and we daily take up our cross. Jesus taught in Luke 14 that we should count the cost before we take up our cross, that we should be willing to give up everything in this life to follow him. That is what it takes to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I'm talking not about the cross of Christ. I'm talking about your cross and my cross. If we are not willing to take up our cross, we are not worthy to be his disciple. The Apostle Peter said that Jesus Christ left an example of suffering that we should follow in his steps, that he in his own body bear our sins on the cross, the tree. So on this Wednesday evening, while we're engaging with the Word of God, while we're facing Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday, I want to pause to remind you that in the life of Jesus Christ, before there was a crown, there was a cross. And each of us, in this season, in the days and weeks and maybe months ahead, there may be times that we are called to bear a cross, times when it is not pleasant, time when there is sacrifice, times when it seems that we have lost everything. But I want to remind you today that when you're going through that suffering, when you're going through times when nothing makes sense, that just as it was for Jesus, if you're willing to carry the cross, you will be found worthy to wear the crown. The disciples of Jesus asked him when he talked about the price. They said to him, Mark chapter 10, verse 28, Peter began to say to him, Lord, we have left all to follow you. We've given it all up. What are we going to have? That's kind of the implied question. Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children's and land with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. If we are willing to carry our cross, we will be found willing to wear the crown. James 1 and 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 29. And 25. 1 Corinthians 9, 25. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate, is disciplined in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. They engaged in those games to get a wreath that would perish away. But Paul said that we are living this life. We are running this race. We are fighting this warfare. We are carrying this cross. But we have in view not the death, but we have in view that which follows. We have an incorruptible crown that is in our future. The Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, spoke of this crown, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, you. I want to say to you who are watching today, to you who are listening right now, when that chief shepherd, when Jesus Christ appears, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. It was to Jesus who spoke to the church of Smyrna in Revelation, 2 and 10, fear not, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days or for a period of time, but be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. The Apostle Peter spoke to his son in the Gospel, Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He spoke of his own death, Paul did, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Paul could have said, I have borne my cross in my life. But then he gave Timothy a word of hope that I want to share with you today, 2 Timothy 4 and 8. Because of that, or henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. To the Atlanta West Pentecostal Church family, and to every person watching online, if you're willing to bear your cross, he will find you worthy to wear the crown. God has a crown that is laid up for us. In Revelation 3:11, Jesus issues a word of encouragement to the church of Philadelphia. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. You might be saying to me, I don't feel a crown on my head. I don't see a crown on my head. All I feel right now is the weight of the cross on my back. I feel the questions about the future. I feel the struggle. I feel the pain. I feel the uncertainty. But I want to assure you today that just as surely as you will allow there to be a cross in their life, that God has promised you a crown of life. If you will carry the cross, you will wear the crown. The goal of my message to you today is to encourage you to stay the course, to finish the race, to fight this good fight. Do not accept the shortcuts of temptation that are offered to you by Satan. Do not be weary in well-doing, for the crown comes to those who do not give up and quit. The Apostle Paul wrote about this in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. But if we deny him, he also will deny us. And one of the verses that I remind myself of often, the Apostle Paul, speaking of seasons of struggle and the work of the Spirit in our lives in Romans 8, 18, Paul said, for I count, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Today I want you to remember that if you're willing to bear the cross, you will be counted worthy to wear the crown. Let's pray right now. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you for being willing to carry your cross, to take our place and pay the price for the sins of the world. I thank you, Lord, that you did not choose the easy path to temporary rewards. And I pray in Jesus' name today that you would give us the courage and the strength to carry our cross so that we can be found worthy in that day to wear a crown, to inherit a crown of life that fadeth not away. And I pray that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And would you say with me, amen. And right now, wherever you are, alone or with friends and family, would you begin to surrender yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ? And would you give him praise, for it is God alone who wears the victor's crown.